Oh, well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for another opportunity the Lord has given me to come and, praise God, to share with you today the precious words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. He is truly worthy to be praised. Praise God. I am Pastor James A. Dansby of Great Commission Fellowship here in Birmingham, Alabama. Praise God. Coming to you on this Wednesday afternoon. Praise God. May 4th, 2022. Praise God, and I do have a word from the Lord just for you today. Praise God, Jesus Christ is the answer to all of our problems. Praise God, it doesn't matter how large, how small they may be. Praise God, our God is able to do abundantly above all that we ever could think or even, praise God, imagine in our hearts if we'll just put our trust in Him. Praise God, I've learned to trust in the Lord with all my heart and, praise God, to lean not to my own understanding. Let's look again, praise God, at Matthew, the fifth chapter, Matthew's gospel. We're looking again at that fifth chapter and verse 13, praise God. This is part three, final episode in this message here. Matthew 5:13, and read once again, Christ says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Let us pray. Father, bless you. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity once again, Lord, to come to share your word with your people. I pray, Father God, the Holy Spirit, the power of God might go before me. Break up the fallow ground. Speak to the hearts of your people today. Lord, the word that you placed in my heart, I pray that they may be communicated to the hearts of others today. And Lord God, I'll be so mindful to give you all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Praise God. Our subject once again, Christ, he is the light and he is the salt. Christ is the light and he is the salt. Matter of fact, he is our light also. He's the light, the salt, but he's our light. I'm talking about the believers now. And he's also our salt. Praise God. That's Matthew 5:13. I do encourage you, praise God, to write down your scriptures. And praise God, later on you can go back and, you know, you have a little bit more time to explore, to look deeply into God's word. And I believe that if you show that kind of diligence, God will open up the word of God even wider and greater than even that in these few minutes that he has given me to expound upon. I believe God will show you more. Praise God and bless your soul if we'll be obedient unto his word. Christ is the light and he is the salt. And we know that Christ is the creator. He's the creator of light. Praise God. He's the creator of salt. Praise both of them. And even these things, these items are created in his image. They are created because he is light. Praise God. And he is salt. Praise God. These qualities within themselves are, praise God, they are a reflection of the character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Talk about light and salt now. Praise God. And on this is Sermon on the Mount here. He uses this light, and he uses salt to teach us about himself. Praise God. And not only himself, but the character that will be found in his children also. Praise God. Through this Sermon on the Mount now, he uses light, which is a product of himself, and salt to teach us about himself and prepare the world for the children of God, for us, for me, as we come with the same message that Christ preached a couple thousand years ago. But now Christ has made his children, praise God, to be light. Remember that now. We have not volunteered and taken upon ourselves. Well, I didn't anyhow. I had a calling from God to be light and to be salt. Praise God. Didn't take it upon myself. Many have volunteered for whatever reason, but I assure you that God called me to do what I'm doing right now. Praise God. To be light and salt in this dark and deteriorating world that we live in today. Praise God. See, these qualities, light and salt, along with the word of God, can change the lives and the hearts of men and cause them to focus on things which are eternal rather than the things of this life. See, people are so focused today on this world, and they don't even think or consider that there's a world beyond this world. There's a life beyond this life. They're so focused. That's why Christ has called me and others like myself to be light and to be salt in this world, to bring focus back on the most important things in this life. Praise God. And those are things eternal, not the things of this world. Now, in our last message, we kind of ended with the fact that being salt is what we are when we are called of God. It doesn't mean that the believer has to be many would call a giant in the faith. You don't have to really be a giant in the faith. It only takes a pinch of salt. I think most of us agree with that. Just a pinch of salt to change the flavor of our food, or even to change the flavor of our hearts, men's hearts today. It only takes a pinch. So you don't have to be a giant now. Just a little salt. Praise God. Just a little salt will make his presence known, whether he's in food, whether it's in this world, or in the people all around us, if we be that salt. Amen. Now, just being saved now. Just being saved, it qualifies us to be used of God to change men's heart. Just being saved. Being saved, being called of God, praise God, it qualifies us. Eh? God wants to use us to be a vehicle to bring change to our surroundings, to the hearts of men. Praise God. We're instruments of change. That's all it is to it. Praise God. Look at 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. Now, Christ, our salt, and he is our light and our salt. Praise God. And he has pointed his children also to be light. Ye are the salt of the world. We are the light of the world and the salt of the world, is what Christ says. But now look at 1 Corinthians 1:27. It only takes a little bit. Praise God. But now it says there, Paul says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world, the weak things, small things of the world, to confound the things which are mighty. So what I'm saying is this here, don't think because you say I'm a baby Christian that God can't use me. It just take a pinch of salt. Praise God. God can confound the mighty in this world, the so-called great ones in this world, with just a little small pinch of salt. Praise God. That's all it takes. Just a little small ingredient of salt. Praise God. But now, besides having the power to preserve and to present men from sinning, salt also irritates. Praise God. It irritates those who love their sinful lifestyle. So salt now, it prevents decay. We looked at it before. It prevents deterioration, but it also irritates. And I think that irritation has got to come kind of first. It irritates just the presence of believers in this world. And many of you, you're irritated because of me, because I preach the word of God. It's not like what your preacher preach. And he probably is not preaching the word of God at all. And most of them are not today. But now salt irritates. Salt in the believer, when they communicate the word of God to the people of this world, it irritates them because of their love for their sinful lifestyle. Remember, Jesus came now. He died for the sins of the world. He died that our sins might not be charged against us. Amen. So, you know, salt deals with that sin problem. And most people that are living a sinful lifestyle, they do not. They just do not want to hear the salted message that God has given us. Praise God. But now, you know that, and I know, you know, I work a lot in my garden. I was out there just a moment ago, but now, if not real hot today, but usually on a hot day, you know, if I sweat a little bit and I got a little nick or wound on my body, that saltiness comes out of my pores, and praise God, it burns. Salt irritates. Yes, it irritates. If you got a cut, praise God, and you spill some salt on you, oh boy, it's going to irritate you. Amen. No doubt about that. And I'm sure that it stings some awful in the same manner, though, in the same manner when the truth of God word is rubbed into this decaying world, the decaying minds of the people in the world, praise God, the decaying hearts in the world today, it makes them very uncomfortable. And that's what it's designed to do. Salt is designed to irritate. One of the properties is to irritate. I think it has to irritate. See, you can't get saved. You can't get a person saved until you first get them irritated. When you get them aggravated over their sin. So salt does, the salty believers, that is, when we preach and teach the word of God and live a holy lifestyle, it irritates them. Praise God. And that's what it's designed to do. Praise God. It's designed to make them uncomfortable. And whether it is the godly lifestyle of the believer or whether it's the word of God, the testimony that we have, when they are presented to the world, to the people in this world, praise God, especially if you present it in this undiluted salty form. I'm talking about 100% salt. I'm talking about a Christian that sure enough sold out. Praise God. When a Christian is sold out for the Lord and the God, and he's got that salty composition within him, undiluted, boy, it's going to sting. It's going to sting somebody. Oh, God. It's going to offend many people. Yes, and it does. See, as believers, we must realize that we are salty Christians. We're called to be salty Christians. You ought to want to be 100% salty. Be ye holy. He says, for I am holy. So we ought to want to be 100% salty Christians. Amen. And we will rub people. We do rub people in the wrong way. Praise God. The scripture referred to this as the offense of the cross. That's what it is. They are offended in us. Praise God. Many people, if you're truly 100% undiluted salt, oh, God, you just going to irritate people. And I know I irritate plenty of people, not because I do it on purpose, but because I preach the truth. And you're not accustomed to hear the truth. And when you do hear it, you get all irritated and you want to draw up and you say, I don't want to listen to that no more. Praise God, that's what you say. But it rubs people in the wrong way. And like I say, it's the offense of the cross. That's what the Bible referred to as the offense of the cross. Praise God. And the scripture also said, the Bible also said, the sting of sin is the law. The sting of sin. There's a sting that comes with sin. Praise God. But when the word of God comes forth, praise God, it's a sting within the hearts and minds of those who are not yet ready to surrender unto the Lord. Amen. See, Jesus said, now, you are the salt. We are the salt. We are the salt. In other words, what is he saying? Praise God. The word of God, the believers are designed first to sting people. We sting them. Amen. But see, stinging is just conviction. If you ain't never been convicted of your sins, if you never had been convicted by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, then you're probably not saved at all. Huh? You got the sting. That salt stings. It convicts you of your wrong. And then next come the healing. But you can't be healed until you first be convicted. You got to know that you're wrong, first of all. Amen. Praise God. But many of you run away from the truth. Praise God. You don't want to hear that. Praise God. You want to hear somebody tell you that nice, sweet gospel that you can, your dreams can be fulfilled. No. His dreams. It's not your dreams anymore. Praise God. It's not my will. It's Christ's will. Praise God. I've had many dreams and many desires to do many things. Praise God. But the Lord said, this is what I want you to do. Praise God. And this is what I'm doing today. Amen. I thank God for it. Praise God. But now, as salt to Christians, and that's what we are. Praise God. I hope you are undiluted, 100% salty Christian, sold out with a one-track mind. When a salty Christian preaches the word of God, it will sting. But because now salt has within itself now also antiseptic powers, it will also change lives and also bring healing. Yes, it stings. Yes, it brings conviction, but because it's antiseptic also, praise God, it's got healing power. It's going to bring healing. Praise who you at the same time. Ain't God a great God? Praise God. He wounds and then he heals. That's what the Bible says. Praise God. It'll change your life. Praise God. It'll bring healing. The scripture says, by his stripes, we are healed. Praise God. And in the Old Testament time, when babies were born, when babies were born, they were always bathed in salt. That's the Old Testament. They were bathed in salt. Why? To keep down the infections, to keep infections away from the baby. You know, a pretty baby, yes, but now remember, now we all born in sin and we're shaped in iniquity. So the possibility that many different problems can arise even in the newborn baby. But so they were bathed in salt. Let's look at that though. Let's look at Ezekiel. Go to the book of Ezekiel. What are we saying? We're saying that salt is so important, has always been important throughout the word of God. So much so that Christ made the light and the salt to be an image of himself, who is the light and the salt. And he has called me and others to be that lesser light and that lesser salt. Amen. Look at Ezekiel. We're looking at 16. You look at the 16th chapter. And verse 4, and it says there, the Lord speak through the prophet. He says, and as for thy nativity, your birth here now, nativity, in the day thou was born, he said, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou was not salted at all. Look what he said, thou was not salted at all, nor swallowed at all. Now, here God describes to the prophet Ezekiel the condition of every sinner. That's how God sees every sinner. That's you and that's me. I don't care. It don't matter what kind of degrees you got. It don't matter how much money you got. It don't matter how much prestige you got in this place here. God sees all of us in the same manner. And I know that's offensive to many of you. Praise God. But now, but God describes to Ezekiel here in this 16th chapter and 4th verse, the conditions of every sinner. When he saves them, praise God, he said they're unsalted. You're unsalted. I mean, you're wide open for every kind of problem, every kind of disease, every kind of malady that can come along. He said you're unsalted. But now the gospel, the word of God, is the antiseptic in that it takes away the pain of sin. It produces new life. Talk about this salt now, the gospel salt here. It produces new life within us. It heals the broken heart. It set those free which are addicted to this sinful flesh here. Praise God. That is the salt, the word of God. And the believers, God has commissioned us to go ye therefore and preach this gospel, preach this salty word of God. Amen. Because otherwise, if you hadn't been salted, that means that, you praise God, you're still in your sins and you're still going to have to stand before God one day. You got to tell God why you refuse to accept his great salvation. Amen. But now look at 2 Kings. Let's look again. I'm going to look at 2 Kings also. Another good scripture there. 2 Kings 2. 2 Kings, 2nd chapter, verse 20 there. Let's start at verse 20. He says here that, and he said, bring me a cruse. Talking about Elisha now. Bring me a cruse. And put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the springs of water and cast the salt into the water and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death of barren land. So the waters will heal unto this day according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. So the water was unfit to drink. Just as the polluted waters that we praise God, were healed during that time by putting that salt in there, praise God. See, the very presence of God's word, which most of you have rejected today, the world has rejected, the White House has rejected, the president has rejected, everybody has rejected it. But the very presence of the salty word of God and the salty believers brings healing. Yes. Healing to all who desire to be healed. See, when the salt was cast into the water, the bitterness was all gone. Yes, and so it is. Praise God. So it is in the lives of all of those who accept Christ and accept his word. All the bitterness that you've been facing, you see, a lot of you are still bitter today about things happened 20, 30, 40 years ago. You're bitter about the broken relationship. You're bitter about your children. You're angry, your hatred. Praise God. All this is pent up within. Praise God. But thank God when we accept the word of God, we accept Christ and the salt, the healing salt that he gives us, praise God, then all that bitterness and hatred going to be replaced with joy. Joy unspeakable, full of glory, and the peace that passes all understanding. All that will go away. I mean, will come to you, and the bitterness will go away. Praise God. God healed your broken heart. And I know a lot of you, your heart's been broken. Some of you have been broken 3 or 4 times. I know some of you are just hanging in there. Well, you need healing. You need salt. You need salt. You need the word of God. You need to listen to the true, true, undiluted servants of God, and not this prosperity and this blessing junk that they are preaching out there today. That's the message which most all of them, God want to bless. Let me tell you something. When you get saved, you are blessed. Honey, I tell you, if God give me something better than what I already got, I don't know whether I can stand it anymore. I'm just going to be honest with you about that. I don't know whether I could even handle it. This frame is not bent. It's not made to handle it anymore. Amen. Look at John 4. Come on, stay with me now. Look at John 4. I'll be through in just a minute here. Not going to be long. But now, Christ is our salt, and he's our light. He has made us salt and made us light. I'm talking about the believers. And he has charged us to go forth. Go forth and have a positive effect upon this world that we live in today. But I'm afraid that's not happening, though. But look at John 4. John 4, and we're looking at 13. 4 and 13. And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Praise God. And whosoever drinketh of the water shall, the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Christ said never thirst. He told that woman, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up, the woman at the well, springing up into everlasting life. Never thirst. Never thirst. Never thirst. Praise God. See, when we eat salty food, and I like potato chips are real salty. I like potato chips. I eat them all the time, but they're very salty. And they will in most every case. Most every case create a thirst for water. Is that right? Am I right about that? Well, that's my experience anyhow. I just said it like that. And so it is when a true salty believer comes among you. One that loves God, one that teaches the word of God. When they are in the midst, praise God, a thirst will be created. Amen. Praise God. A thirst, because we're salty. We're salty. We're called to make men thirsty. Thirsty for God. Thirsty for a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirsty for the word of God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall. The Lord said, if you thirst, you shall be filled. But now you must receive the word of God. You must, first of all, receive that word that comes through the people of God. God has chosen certain people in this world to bring you the word that'll make you thirsty. Praise God for more of God, more of a relationship with the Lord. Praise God. And our godly lifestyle, we talked about that in our last lesson. Our godly lifestyle should create a thirst. Just our lifestyle, just people watching us. It should create a thirst in others for the Lord. Amen. Especially when the believers seem to be going through. You know, that's why. And that's one of the reasons why we're not exempt from going through. We're not exempt from having our hearts hurt. We're not exempt from having problems with wives and husbands and children. We're not exempt from all these things. But now, what God does is through these situations, this pain and this experiencing suffering and all that even the believers go through, all the while, praise God, while we're going through, we are walking in with a measure of peace. We have that peace. People around us looking and they're wondering how can they hold up? We have that peace and we still have our joy and we still have our confidence. Why? Because we're trusting in the Lord. But now, sometimes they'll come to us and ask a question. Usually, they'll ask a question something like this. How can you go through all that you're going through? How in the world do you take it and remain so happy? How do you stay content like you do? Praise God. That's what they do. Praise God. They'll ask you questions like that. Again, Christ says to the true believer, you are the salt. We are the salt of the earth. Praise God. We are born again. We are born again to create a thirst in the hearts and minds of the people in the world today. That's why we are here. We are salt. We are salt. Praise God. See now, We turn everywhere today. People go everywhere trying to find help. We turn to all the wrong kinds of places, all the wrong things that does not satisfy our thirst. But we're trying this and we're trying that. Praise God, we're trying relationship with this one, relationship with that one, and it turns out to be a blast. And then we go to drugs, we go to alcohol, we go to the social media, like many people stay on the social media, and we go on to entertainment venues. All these we turn to try to quench our thirst. And praise God, all to no avail whatsoever. Look at Isaiah 55. It don't help you. It don't help them none. It don't help you none. And you know that. Praise God. Well, these things were not designed to quench your thirst. They were not. Praise God. There's only one thirst quencher. Praise God. And it ain't no Mountain Dew either. Amen. There's only one thirst quencher. Let's look at Isaiah 55 and 1 and 2. Isaiah 55, 1 and 2. The prophet Isaiah said, "Ho, everyone that thirsted, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money," see, you don't need no money for this, "come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Then he asked a question in verse 2, "Wherefore, why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why do you labor for that which satisfied not?" Then he said, "Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Why, people? That's what the question is. Why are you trying to be satisfied with the things of the world when only Christ can satisfy you? He is the true thirst quencher. Amen. The Lord himself and the word of God. Amen. Through the servants of God. Praise God. Through those whom God has called. And remember, everybody that say they called are not called now. Praise God. Not called. Amen. Praise God. Look again now. Let's look back at Matthew. Well, we'll go back. Go back to Matthew 13. We'll go back there. Look at 5:13 again. Christ says again, "If the salt have lost his savor," talking about the taste now, "your ability, wherewith shall it be salted?" How do you make it salty again? Praise God. "It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." You see, during Christ's days, a lot of the salt they found was contaminated. Yes, it was. And therefore it had a flat taste, practically no taste, and was thrown out. Praise God. Now they were very careful, though. They were very careful not to throw it into the gardens or into the fields, because it would kill everything that was growing there. That salt, it killed. Amen. So instead, they would throw it in the road. They would throw it in the road, it says here, where it would, after a while, be trodden over by the animals, the trapping and so forth, trodden down into the dirt, and eventually just plain old disappear. So it is when believers become contaminated with sin. Believers, now, they lose their saltiness. I'm not talking about unbelievers. You don't have that saving saltiness at all. Praise God. But the believer can lose their saltiness, or shall we say, they lose their ability to have impact upon the souls in the world today, through the word of God. Amen. Through the word of God. Amen. But now, I'm not saying, and I'm going to make this very clear, I'm not saying that a believer can lose his or her salvation. I'm not saying that at all. Not at all. I don't believe a word of that, period. But now, you can lose your effectiveness. You can lose your confidence and your assurance that you are having effect upon people. And it's not a permanent condition. No, God ain't going to let his children stay like that. No. Look at 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. No, the Lord won't allow that. 2 Peter 1. And we're going to look at verse 8. He says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar, hath forgotten." You mean Christian forget? Well, why do we have the Lord's Supper? Do people seem to forget? He make us remember. Do this in remembrance of me. But see, Peter says here, if people have forgotten that he was, the believers sometimes forgotten that he was purged, cleansed from his old sins. So now basically what Peter's saying here is that even a believer can fall into a state of forgetfulness and can be distracted sometime, and his born-again mission will be temporarily out of service. Just out of service for a while. But again, not permanently now. Oh, no, the Lord's going to change. He gives us a space to repent. But now if you don't repent, then you're going to be chasing of the Lord. Amen. See, our sinful behavior, it limits our saltiness, our effectiveness, our mission. That's why we're here. We're not here to gather your prosperity and for you to gather the things of this world. No, no, God don't save us for that. We're going to have all that when we get home. Right now, let's work while it's day, because the night going to come. Praise God, in my life, the night going to come and I can't work no more. And that's why, I know you've been saying, what that boy, why do you stay on now all the time? Buddy, the night is coming. Praise God, this preacher here is reaching 75 in a few months here. In a couple months, 75. Praise God. I need to be on my father. I need to be about my father's work right now. Praise God. But many believers, praise God, many believers today, they are like King David, though. Just like King David, for instance, when he numbered the people. You remember when David numbered the people? Oh, great injustice. And, trying to see how many soldiers he got before he go into battle. It don't make no difference whether you got one or two. Praise God. Man, God is a majority. Praise God, I don't need to count and see how many people. I got God on my side. The Creator can throw thunder from the sky. Praise God, fireball from the sky. Praise God. But David numbered the people, didn't he? And what did he do? He brought death upon pestilence, death upon the people. And they lost confidence in him as a leader. He lost his salty influence upon the people. And many of you that say you're believers, you lost your ability to be salt. You have no positive effect upon the world today, upon the people around you. Praise God. As a matter of fact, they're very comfortable being around you. They don't feel no conviction. You're doing what they're doing. You're talking the same kind of talk. You're saying the same thing they say. Praise God. But now, as I close today, I believe many believers, again, are like David. You lost your saltiness. I believe that. You're corrupted by your sins, them little private sins that you're still indulging in. And therefore, you're not growing anymore. You're not growing anymore. You lost your thirst for reading the Word of God. You don't read. Your thirst to pray. You lost your prayer, your prayer time. You lost your excitement for winning souls to Christ. Praise God. And even the Holy Spirit convictions no longer move on you as it did before. And all these are just signs that you just may have lost your saltiness, and you no longer have a positive effect upon this dark culture in which we live in today. Praise God. In other words, you all bark, but you're no bite at all. You have no bite at all. Praise God. But thank God, we can regain our saltiness. Yes, you can. I want the believers to know that. You can regain, not in and of yourself, not by yourself. No, no. But we can through Christ. By doing what? The same thing we've done from the beginning. Repenting once again. Praise God. Just like we did when we first got saved. And as a matter of fact, praise God, in every believer's life, praise God, there will be a constant resalting. Yes, in all of us. Constant repenting. Yes, for some sin, it don't have to be a major sin. It can just be that you've gotten slack in doing what God called you to do. Your mind is running wild. Your imagination is in the wrong place. But we always going to be being resalted and repenting for some sin or another that we have committed. But now, in our world today, and it seems that the world is affecting the church and not the other way around. That's what it looks like to me. Praise God. That's what I see. Sin is rampant today. Praise God. Like a flood of water. Like a flood of water today. Sin is after a dam has been broken, running into our streets. It's in our street. It's in the homes. It's in the school. Our government is filled with it. Our entire society. Praise God. And all the while, millions and millions of so-called Christians, church folks, can only stand by on the sideline and look. That's all we do, looking Praise God. Because there is no salt. There is no salt. Is that the case with you today? Huh? Have you lost your saltiness? Have you lost your ability to affect those around you? Do you make them uncomfortable? Not because of what you are doing in a sinful way or saying in a sinful way, but your very presence, do it make them uncomfortable? Praise God. Remember, Jesus said, if the salt has lost its flavor, it is good for nothing. And in Mark's gospel, Christ said in Mark's gospel, have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Let us pray. Father, we bless you today. Lord, we thank you for this, another opportunity, Lord, that you've given me, Lord, to expound upon your word. Now, Lord, I've done what you called me to do. Now, Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit will take these words, Lord, that person that you draw to this broadcast, Lord, that person that has gotten angry and said, I don't want to hear that no more. I want to hear things that tickle in my ears. Lord, I pray that you'll touch that person's heart also, that they might hear the true gospel of Jesus Christ and that they might be saved. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you like this video, go over hit that like button, praise God, and then you can hit that subscribe button over there, praise God, and hit the bell, and when I come again, praise God, I don't know when, I have no idea, just whenever God moves on my heart, again, I bring you another word, praise God, I bring you another word directly from the Lord, but until that time, praise God, may God bless you, praise God, and may God keep you is my prayer today, amen, thank you, Lord.